from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, we learn about the Bay Area athletes competing in the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. The games officially kicked off early this morning with opening ceremonies of the largest Winter Games ever. Then at 9:30, well, here we are again, fretting about the lack of rain we've had so far this winter. Are we heading into another drought? And what's behind the state's decision to scale back its Delta Tunnel plan from 2 tunnels to 1? We dive into both topics next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. If you're among the people who did not get up at 3 a.m. to watch the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics, but would like to know who from the Bay Area is competing, you are in luck. We have Chronicle sports columnist Ann Killian here with us to tell us all about them. And you can watch the opening ceremonies in Pyeongchang, South Korea at primetime tonight on NBC, which of course holds the exclusive rights to broadcast the Olympics in the U.S. And Killian, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, we'll be talking with you also about some of the political maneuvering that's been going on around these Olympic Games,
as they're always. The Olympics are always about.
But let's start with the athletes. And before we talk about who the Bay Area Olympians are, we should, as you did in your column the other day, explain how you determined who qualifies as a local Olympian.
Yeah, in the Winter Olympics especially, we have a pretty broad base for deciding if someone's local or not, because they're Winter Olympians and we don't really have winter here. So they tend to be either from Tahoe, the Tahoe area, or they've gone somewhere else to train. They might be from here originally. And even our figure skaters now have we have two who are locally raised, you know, they would say their addresses are in the Bay Area, but they train elsewhere just because that's, you know, the way that sport is you follow your coach.
Well, tell us about Karen Chen, the 18-year-old figure skater.
Yeah, Karen Chen kind of burst on the scene last year. She won the national championship and was kind of a surprise. She's a sweet story for someone like me who covered Christy Yamaguchi when she was a kid coming out of Fremont, because Karen is also from Fremont. She grew up, you know, idolizing Christy and receiving grants from Christy's foundation. And she is training now in Southern California, but she's a beautiful skater. She's had a kind of a rough year, but she pulled it together, and she's had some injury and pain issues, which is something that, you know, these beautiful figure skaters, we don't realize they're fighting through it pretty much all the time. But she pulled it together, and she finished third at the national championships in San Jose last month, and so made the team. And you know, our women aren't really supposed to do anything. There's not a lot of expectations. The Russia, Japan, South Korea, those are the you know, the kind of the powers in women's figure skating right now. And so, but for Karen Chen at this stage of her career to make the team, it's a big deal.
And then another figure skater, Vincent Zhou, he's a Palo Alto native, correct?
Yes. And again, he's someone who moved away to train with his coach. And he's just 18, I think. So he's very young. He's a great jumper. That's his strength. That's kind of where men's skating has gone to, who can land the most quads. And he does that. He also had a tough year, struggled with inconsistency, but made the Olympic team. And again, not a whole lot of medal expectations for him, though Nathan Chen, one of his teammates, could be a gold medal contender. And they're kind of similar in that they both are incredible jumpers. But Vincent is a little less polished than Nathan.
I was actually struck by the number of athletes from Palo Alto. You mentioned Hillary Knight, who is a hockey player, Joanne Reed, who's a biathlete.
Yeah, and again, we're stretching it. I mean, Hillary Knight is the face of women's hockey and women's American hockey, and is a great, great hockey player. She's really been phenomenal. But she spent the first 5 years of her life in Palo Alto, and I think she originally learned to skate rollerblading when, you know, in the streets of Silicon Valley. But then her parents moved away to Chicago, and that's pretty much, you know, when her hockey career took off. Joanne Reed's really interesting because she's the niece of Eric Heiden, the daughter of Beth Heiden, and who were pretty famous Olympians. Eric Heiden won, I believe it was 5 gold medals, and then also competed as a cyclist in the Summer Olympics after speed skating was over. But she comes from a great Olympic heritage, and her mom worked for Apple, and that's why she grew up in the Bay Area.
And speaking of Silicon Valley connections, there were a couple of San Jose folks, and I think these might be a little bit of a stretch, but Tim Jitloff, is that how you say his last name? He was born in San Jose. He's an alpine skier.
Yeah, again, kids who went to Tahoe, you know? I mean, we all know that our kids have grown – we've grown up with, or our kids have grown up with, people who get the bug, and pretty soon they, you know, their parents are either going to Tahoe every weekend, or they end up going to school up there, or, you know, I mean, if they have talent, they have to move somewhere where there's snow.
Right. And then there is a San Jose Shark in the Olympics this year.
He is from Boston. He's not a shark. There are no sharks.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of my issues with this year's Winter Olympics, and one of the reasons I think that the star power feels kind of flat this year. The NHL decided not to send NHL players. They thought it was too disruptive to their season to take a break for 2 weeks. I find that absurd. I think the Winter Olympics is such a great showcase for their sport, for their players, really showcasing it as an incredible global sport. The players are passionate about it. Anyway, the NHL decided not to. So they're he's a San Jose Barracuda, which is their, you know, like minor league team.
I see. Well, we're talking about the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and about some of the Bay Area athletes hoping to make their Olympic dreams come true. There's at least 16 of them that have ties to the Bay Area and Lake Tahoe.
Let's put air quotes around that.
As Ann Killian points out. So join the conversation. This is just a half hour segment. You know, what about anything that you're hearing about these athletes you have questions about? Or tell us what events you're most looking forward to watching. Are you into the Olympics? Why? What do you find irresistible about them? Call 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, you can tweet us. We're at KQED Forum. Or you can email us. We're at forum@kqed.org. And as you noted, Ann Killian, in your column today, that what is increasingly common is that the storylines around the Olympics tend to focus a lot more on the politics, on things that are sort of beyond or outside of the athletes. And so remind us about some of the biggest stories that are going on this year.
Well, and I think for some reason that's particularly the case this year, just because I don't think there's a lot of star power in the Olympics. Part of it's no NHL stars. Part of it's that the best known names are in their 30s now. You know, Shaun White, the snowboarder, is no longer that little dude with the long red hair. He's now a 31-year-old adult with short hair. And, you know, I mean, Lindsey Vonn is fantastic. She is a badass athlete, but, you know, she's 33 and coming off a ton of injuries. So those are the names that are most well known.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's not like it was back in 94 when people were like, couldn't get enough of figure skating. So that's one reason I think these other issues dominate. But I just think, you know, the politics around the Olympics continue to get very intense. I mean, they always have been. There's been boycotts and everything else. But the whole interplay between North Korea and South Korea is really interesting. North Korea is sending a pretty small team and delegation. That was the product of a lot of negotiations. You know, the tensions between our country and North Korea are, you know, were a factor in those negotiations. I mean, it's just interesting to see how that's going to play out. You know, will there be defections? Will there be, you know, concern about any kind of security threats in any form? So that's one issue. The whole issue of Russia not being allowed to compete because of their team was banned because of doping, systemic state-sponsored doping that was, you know, there's overwhelming of evidence that that happened in 2014 at Sochi, and that maybe a third of the medals they won were tainted by doping. And so the whole team was banned, but then they've allowed, I think it's about 150 athletes, Russian athletes, to come, and they have to march under the Olympic flag, and they're called Olympic athletes from Russia.
Yes.
And there was an appeals. I think the Court of Arbitration turned down all the appeals this morning or last night. But, you know, that's a very sticky spot, you know, with Russia.
Yes.
and having won the Olympics, the last Winter Olympics, in a very tainted way. So, you know, the repercussions from that. And then, you know, on our own front, you know, I think a lot of people don't feel really good about the Olympic program right now in the wake of the Larry Nassar sexual abuse scandal, which, you know, that's a summer sport. That's gymnastics. But the people who oversaw those young, very young girls, who many of whom went on to be our greatest, strongest, most courageous athletes and win medals and win gold medals and, you know, bring all this glory to our country, were so poorly treated by the people in charge of overseeing the program. And, you know, you've got to now the whole USA Gymnastics, you know, pretty much everyone's resigned who was in a position of power, anyone who could have made a change. But you have to wonder, where was the USOC in all of that, and how far up the food chain should the blame, you know, go to? And so I think, you know, when something like that happens, especially with a sport like gymnastics, where they're literally the tiniest and in many cases the youngest athletes, and they were so abused, and what they said was not believed, and, you know, they were ignored and mistreated for so long. And then we just saw them all stand up in court and, you know, do one of the bravest things that anyone has to do. It's just, I think that there's a real dark cloud over the U.S. Olympic program right now. And there, you know, for some people, there might always be that cloud.
Well, and I should put that out to our listeners, if that is playing a role in your desire to watch them at all, or if you've, you know, if this cloud basically, you know, has affected your excitement around the Olympics, or if you are just, there's just something about these games that also just seems to bring things out in people. As much as there's been so much tension and frustration around North Korea, what I heard from highlights of the opening ceremonies this morning was that one of them was the country, North and South Korea, walking together under one flag. Though I think this year they are saying that there was less support for that than there have been in previous years. Let's go to some calls here. Let's hear from Dick in Petaluma. Hi, Dick.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Great.
And I just wanted to thank you for all the fabulous writing you've been doing for all these years.
It's thank you.
Fabulous. And I know it just slipped your mind, but the star power of this Olympics, I think, has got to be Michaela Schifrin.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michaela Schifrin she's great. And she will be, she probably will be one of the biggest stars for sure.
Yeah.
So she's
so, anyway,
a slalom skier.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the writing again. Have a great day.
Yeah, I read an article about Michaela Schifrin and about her her workout plan and how she basically doesn't do – she takes lots – she's just completely focused, like entirely on her sport. And, you know, the idea of going to have a beer or watching a movie is not something that enters her schedule or
yeah.
her thought process at all.
Well, I think that's the way it is for a lot of these athletes. And I've got to say, even though, you know, I'm pointing out the negatives – there is something really, really special about the Olympics. It is, and it can't be discounted in this day and age when, you know, there are so many tensions around the world, too. And you get it a little more at the Summer Olympics because it's so much bigger. But, you know, it's a peacetime gathering of, you know, young strong people who are passionate, and they come together and they walk together, they march together. And in the midst of competition, you know, when some of these crazy, you know, snowboarders or freestyle skiers are flying through the air upside down, and, you know, I mean, it's pretty thrilling stuff. And so, you know, if you can put aside all these other things, you know, it can be a really beautiful moment. And so it's just kind of this double-edged sword where it's kind of the best of the world, but then the worst of the world also enters into it, you know, with doping and cheating and, yes, you know, bad politics and corrupt leaders and all that stuff. So it's you know, it's one of the reasons it's very fun to cover is because all that stuff is in play.
Well, and, you know, one thing about the doping is what I just was curious what your reaction is to that in terms of, I mean, the idea around it, right, is to deter other countries from considering systematic doping, right, of its athletes. And do you think this, I mean, we've heard reports from the opening ceremonies that the Russian athletes had to wear gray uniforms, walk under the Olympic flag. There was no indication that they were Russian per se. You know, is that enough of a deterrent? Is that enough of a punishment if you're allowing some 150 plus athletes, right?
Yeah, no, a lot of people think it's not enough. You know, but then again, the counter argument, you know, the argument is, no, you shouldn't let any of them in. The entire nation should be punished. The counter argument is, as always, there are some clean athletes. And are you going to punish someone for, you know, their dream, their, you know, take away their one shot? Like, you know, I mean, we all still remember the boycott in 1980 when, you know, our country took away the dreams of so many athletes and didn't allow them that one shot. I mean, that's the thing about the Olympics. I mean, unless you're Sean White or Lindsey Vonn, for most of them, there's only one shot. They get one cycle and one shot to really do something. And so, you know, do you punish everyone? You know, it's a tough question. But yeah, I mean, what happened in Sochi, and the thing was, people kind of knew it as it was going on. And then to have it be, you know, kind of proven at months later and ever since, you know, all the evidence has been piling up. And the IOC didn't really tackle the issue until December, which was awfully late in the game. You know, I mean, the 2 months before the games were actually going to begin. So, I mean, it's been a messy process.
Yes. Well, let's hear next from Katie and Martinez. Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi. It's great to be on. Thank you. I just wanted to say to Anne how much I really, really love your writing and all of your columns over the years. But I just want to say, as a former teacher and coach, an athlete myself, that I think I just love the Olympics. And I don't think that what's happened in gymnastics should detract from what's happening with our great athletes and all the girls that are there this year and going forward. I just think now it highlights what's happening, but we still should go, you know, full forward with all of our enthusiasm and support all the women that are there.
Well, I would say we should support all our athletes,
yeah,
not just the women.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, you're right. But it just, you know, I think it really does call into question, you know, how the team is organized, who the leaders are, what they're willing to consider important, and you know, how they caretake those athletes. And that's, you know, I mean, there are, you know, I think there's probably a lot of parents right now of talented young athletes who wonder, you know, what the trade-off is to putting their kid into such a competitive, on such a competitive course.
Yes. Well, Katie, thanks for the comment. And Neil writes, I'm a Bay Area native, and my cousin J.R. Chelsky is a short track speed skater, an Olympic medalist and world record holder in the 500 meters. He hails from Federal Way, Washington. If you haven't watched short track, it's absolutely riveting. Did I say his last name correctly?
I think so. And he actually was on our list of locals, in air quotes, because he was born in Monterey. Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll take him.
We're taking him. And he's your cousin, so there you go.
Yeah, right. So you're the extra.
We get to claim him, too.
Well, Bill says curling.
Curling is really fun to watch.
Yeah, I have to say I hail from Canada, so curling.
Yeah,
is really fun.
And curling, you know, I a lot of people who don't hail from Canada or, you know, Wisconsin didn't know much about curling until it got to the Olympics, which I believe was maybe 2006. I think 2006. And it's fun to watch, and it's one of those Olympic sports where we can all watch it and imagine that we could be in the Olympics, because it's not like they're the fastest or the most fit. It's fun. It is very fun to watch.
Well, Lindsay tweets, I love the Olympics, been watching since I was a kid. But the key is to watch the live stream. It shows every country without biased commentary.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. And it seems crazy to me that NBC is still sticking to this game plan that they get criticized so much for, which is just, I understand that you would package things for a primetime show, but the incessant focusing on the American athletes to the expense of everyone else is just, I find it, and especially in this day and age, it's annoying. And it's I don't think it serves our country well.
Well, this listener tweets, already watched the opening ceremony live online. Wow, it was a completely different experience not having to listen to the NBC personalities talk over the event. I don't watch sports other than the Olympics, but even so, I want to watch the actual sport, not the character stories or some layperson's attempt at analysis. NBC really needs to step up their game and just broadcast the darn events like the BBC or the CBC do.
Yeah, it's interesting because usually when I'm at the Olympics and I've covered every Olympics except this one in Sochi. It's fascinating. We do criticize our coverage, but no matter what country you're in, they're doing the same thing. And that includes the BBC during the London Olympics. They are focused on their country's athletes.
So it's the streams. So the conditions in Pyeongchang that you think are important, I know we talked, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, the sub-zero temperatures there and things like that.
Sub-zero, but also not a lot of snow.
Yeah. So and I heard in the opening ceremonies that the Tongan cross-country skier came out shirtless. So if you haven't watched the opening ceremonies, that apparently is a highlight according to many headlines in the that have been reported from this.
Right.
And then, of course, I had that mom reaction of, I hope he doesn't get sick.
Exactly.
Let me see if I can squeeze in one last thought from Raylon. Hi, Raylon in Mountain View.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to comment on the status of the Russian athletes and them being allowed to participate in the games. And I definitely agree with the comment that it would be really unfortunate for those that happen to be clean among them, which maybe there are the majority, if they were removed from their one shot at winning the games. But you have to think about the guy that's next to them that has been doping, and if he wins and supplants another contender from another country that has also been clean and also might be their only one shot to win, and they lose to someone that was playing unfairly. And I think it adds incentive to sort of monitor your teammates as well. If you're clean and you have your shot removed,
I think, Raylon, you've really summarized some of the main points that people have been making about how the IOC handled the Russian doping.
And it's not just the Russians, but there's, you know, our country's been guilty of doping. I mean, that's an ongoing story in the Olympics.
Well, Ann Killian, thanks so much for joining us this morning and giving us this preview and the names of Bay Area athletes to watch for.
And thanks for having me.
We are listening to Gangnam Style because, yes, the U.S. Olympic team really did walk out to this song. I'm Nina Kim. Stay with us. 오빤 강남 스타일.